much tuning in to us. And Taiwo in the studio with me, as always. And you know, we always have an interesting guest anytime we come on air. So he would be introducing himself later on. But Taiwo, how are you?
I am fine. Very well, thank you, Bukola. Mm-hmm. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. How's your weekend?
That's good.
You had to look in the air to tell me.
Yes, I'm trying to think of the many things I did and the ones that I couldn't do. So, you know, so look at that. Good morning, Lagos. It's a wonderful day today. Welcome to the Business Half Hour, powered by Naira Metrics. I have an interesting guest here today, and he's going to be talking to us on a topic on how to increase the value of your business. He's an interesting fellow. I mean, I met him sometime last year. We had a chat, and one of the things he taught around sales, then there's a science or a formula for calculating sales velocity, you know. So I can't forget that. It still rings in my ears and in my head, you know, when I look at it there. It's just, I mean, he's very practical. He doesn't, you know, tries as much as possible to make things down to earth, you know. Somebody actually said yesterday that he probably loves to teach in that sense. And we'll be hearing a few nuggets from him this morning. Can we meet you?
All right. My name is Jeffrey Williams. Good morning, Lagos. For those who know me, hurrah. So the mutual friend we had yesterday says Jeffrey likes to teach. It's like any opportunity he has, he just want to teach.
Okay. So
I enjoy doing that. Maybe I would consider a PhD.
Brilliant, brilliant. So maybe you,
I'm thinking that's what you need to teach.
Maybe not necessarily.
No, not necessarily. So, okay. I mean,
once you have the gift, you can go ahead.
To be able to do that. Yeah.
If you can impart knowledge.
If it's gift is plenty.
So Jeffrey, tell us a bit about what you do, how long you've been in it, and why you went into it.
All right. The People Impact Company, it's a business that is focused on trying to help startups, individuals who want to run or are running a business. And it's built into the basic things that make a business operate, which is people and sales. And the people part is where you focus on trying to build the right set of structure, putting the right set of people in place, empowering you to understand how to get the best out of your team. And the sales part is more around putting sales structures in place, optimizing the team that you have in place, building the right kind of product that fits into the market that you're in, and then trying to expand and grow that number methodically and strategically. So it's not just we're here on Monday morning, we have 20 cartons to sell, and that's it.
There's a science to these things. And if you listen to Jeffrey, you'll find out. So Jeffrey, tell us why you went into this. What was the nag? I know you've done a lot of work for a lot of bigger companies. Well, so why did you pick startups? They're struggling companies.
All right. So professionally, I've done business and sales at a very senior level for about 16 years. And one of the things that I've noticed as well is there's a lot of experience that we have in Nigeria. A lot of senior people, but they're always very busy to mentor or teach people how to do things. So you talk to somebody the first, the second day, the third time, they don't have the time to help you. Go figure it out. And Nigeria is at a time where there's a lot of focus on startups, entrepreneurship, and there's a lot of agencies trying to help people build their businesses. And somebody has to help these people. Somebody has to be there for them. Somebody has to mentor, teach, groom, guide.
So this is a calling for you.
Well, if you say so. I mean, look at what we did yesterday. We had over 35 or more business owners come together for lunch with our friend. And when he called and reached out to me, I told him I would love to. It was a very tight schedule. I came late, if you noticed.
Yes.
I had to sort out some family, but I was like, guys, I need to be here. And it was just fun having to listen. And you could see how relieved they were to know that somebody's listening to their problem.
And that they were not crazy with the ideas that they had.
We were very encouraging and giving them all the little nuggets that could add a difference. I didn't sleep till like 1 yesterday because I keep getting people saying, thank you for yesterday. Please, can you help with this? I was very politely saying to them, guys, it's like 12 o'clock. Can we like not talk about this?
Right now. Yeah. I've got work tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was good. I enjoy doing what I do. And I hope that, and it's not too expensive. So we try to not put money as the first consideration. It's more around, do you understand what you're doing? Do you really want to do what you're doing? Do you want to grow what you're doing? And would you use the information and the support that you're receiving from us, you know, my partner and I?
So, I mean, I agree with you on the knowledge gap. I think it's one of the fundamental challenges that entrepreneurs face after lack of infrastructure and capital, you know. So I think those are the top three challenges that the entrepreneurial space is facing. But how long have you been doing this?
About 3 years now. Well, in a more structured setting, 3 years, but like over 10 years unstructured.
You've been doing a lot of free work.
Yes. And by now I should have had one big gigantic home in Banana Island.
Doing all of that.
Yeah.
What has your experience been? What gives you the satisfaction? What's that wow moment for you, you know, when you do this?
You know the feeling you get when we're back in, secondary school, we did biology.
Mm.
And you had this bin that you put in this little pot, like, you know, and you water it. After 3 days,
it sprouts.
Yes. You know the excitement you get? You see that green little thing coming up from the soil? You're like super excited about it. And you can almost water the plant to death to ensure that it has all the water it requires. I think for me, it's when I start to see impact in the business and a significant transformation in the person's approach to business. It excites me. So if the guy wanted to achieve substantial knowledge to build the competency to be a better leader to the people that he's working with, and you can see how the team has just, you know, bought into that whole new approach. It could be that the guy is trying to expand or build sales or whatever it is he's trying to do, and we're able to help, and you can just see that thing come to life. It's exciting.
Okay. So let's dive straight into it. Why we're here today. Jeffrey's got some fantastic nuggets to share this morning. If you've got a pen and paper, you can take it down. If you want to record how to increase the value of your business. I mean, before Jeffrey goes in there, one of the questions somebody asked yesterday, they said they have a small design studio.
Sure.
They were thinking they need the big clientele. Essentially, they wanted to scale. They needed to scale, but the guy wasn't sure. The founder wasn't sure whether or not they could go the route of raising funds or just getting bigger clientele.
Remember him.
You know, so remember and one of the things that I think had resonated across board, and which you've also said this morning, is really to be true to yourself, to say, look, am I in it for the long haul, or is it when the money comes in, we just share the profit and that's the end. Everybody, we're waiting for the next big deal.
Mm.
You know, there's a difference between them doing, doing business or doing deals and actually running a business. There's a massive difference. And Jeffrey here, what we're talking about this morning isn't just about doing transactions or, you know, just doing deals. It's really more about a business, a proper business that you're trying to scale.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people in Nigeria are, they set up businesses because they were sacked at work.
Yeah.
Or
the blessing in disguise.
Yeah. Or they are tired of working for someone. That does not make you an entrepreneur.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
So you find out that when the next good offer all that dream, all that passion just goes away. Yeah, like, this one comes the cow, better HMO, everything. You have moved, you know. No, this is not the kind of people that we're trying to look up.
No. It's not a side hustle. We're not talking about
Maybe someday. We'll talk about how you
sit from the side hustle to a proper business.
Yes. So maybe someday we'll look at that, because I think I wrote something about that some months back. And maybe we could talk about it on the show. This is more around running a proper business where you are thought through the whole process of trying to set up a business. Your family, your friends, everybody knows that this person really wants to run a business, not because he couldn't have gotten a better job. You know, I know people who have started off leaving school and going straight to the businesses that they want to do.
Yeah. So what's your number one tip?
All right. So the first thing you want to do is redefine the market and how you play in that market. If you want to build a valuable business, you find people who say, I want to be a cleaning company the best cleaning company. Well, that doesn't really make a difference. What would make a difference is I want to be the best cleaning or the largest cleaning company for radio stations. So it could be that when you position yourself as a cleaning company, you may not be significant. But if you downsize that market into a niche, you could be the biggest in that market.
Yes, because they have peculiarities that generic cleaning companies may not. Just as an example.
And so if I want to invest in your business, you would say, I am the biggest radio station cleaning company there is in Nigeria.
I mean, you're right. I mean, for example, for health services, I mean, people that clean hospitals, for example, there are ways to dispose of the used items like needles, syringes. There's a proper way to dispose of them. Your regular disposal companies will not be able to dispose of those things. Same thing with people working biochemicals, I mean, and stuff like that. So you're absolutely right. Yeah, sure. That's great.
And so when I'm coming to evaluate your business, you are more profitable and more significant to invest in than just some other cleaning company out there. Second nugget would be to have a point of differentiation. Very, very important to have a point of differentiation. And why is that important? It is because if your differentiator is price and I want to invest in the business, I would ask myself, should I invest because this guy has a better pricing, or can I go and create the same business, offer a cheaper price or a long-term discount and then kick you off the market? So what makes you unique? What is it that you're offering that I really want to invest in?
Only the consumer will benefit from a price war.
Absolutely. And in the end, everybody's less profitable anyway.
Yes.
And so do not try to position yourself as, oh, I'm the cheapest in the market. No. People who are trying to look for valuable companies to invest in do not see that as a differentiator. It could be the way you clean. So let's take the same example that we've built on. It could be the chemicals, that it could be an organic way that you've built something that is different and unique. And even if there are 100 of you there, you would always stand out as being unique. The third advice would be, when you try to set up contracts with your customers, try to make it long-term. The business becomes more valuable that way. If the contract that you're having is 6 months, 3 months, and after it's gone, it's no real value in that. But imagine if you had a 10-year contract to clean Classic FM. Anybody who is coming would know that I still have 8 more years or 9 more years of making that money, right? If you've been in existence for, say, 2 or 3 years.
So, I mean, you're quite right. So if you have a subscription model, you could explore the monthly option, but it would be better if you could get payments, quarterly payments, biannual payments, or annual payments upfront. And you could offer discounts to people to say, if you pay bulk or pay for long term, you get discounts, as opposed to doing monthly. Because monthly, I mean, I used to work out of a particular place and it was a monthly subscription. To be honest, I haven't been there in months now. Mm-hmm. So I'm a member, but I'm not a paying member, okay, quote unquote. If you understand what I'm trying to say. So
it would have been better if you had paid up.
Yeah, so they've got another plan. The minimum is quarterly. It's a quarterly payment.
Okay.
You know, but it comes with its own perks and all of that. So to look at that, because it's a better way to plan for the business, at least you know that you have some kind of income guaranteed for over a period of time.
You've got 10, 15, 20 of those kind of clients. Your business is valuable and people will be interested in the long-term opportunity to make money.
Precisely.
And more so, even the contracts that you have as the owner of the business needs to be transferable.
Yes.
We've seen a lot of people say, oh God, this is your contract. If I sign this business, you cannot, the way your contract is structured is if you die, this goes with you. It doesn't go to your family, doesn't go to anyone, doesn't go to your partner. So why am I, that's a very high risk contract you have there. So your contract should be the type that an investor will find interesting to want to invest in because it's transferable.
Man, you're quite right. I remember there was some time ago, Ford and Pirelli, they had an issue. I think Ford had just gotten a new CEO at that time. And there was this history of a Ford member of the Ford family being at the helms of affairs and so on and so forth. I can't remember who was then. And they had an issue with Pirelli and, you know, they discontinued using Pirelli. And then when I read the story and they were talking about it, I think it was on CNN, I said, look, they had this partnership for over 60 years. I was like, it's not the CEO that was scuttled it.
Mm-hmm.
They came back soon after that because there's something deeper.
There you go.
It's not. It's go. Not about.
It protects you as a business.
Yes, as a business. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter whether the management changes or not.
You know, and that's the way you should look at it.
Yes.
Another is to look at the kind of structure you put in acquiring customers. You need to be a bit more diversified. You need to diversify more. Don't make one or two clients your biggest. It puts you at a very big risk. If these two, one, three, four, five customers walk away, you are in trouble. So the more the customers, the more market you're playing in, the more diversified your portfolios are, the better and more valuable your business would be. So you need to look at that as well. Another advice, okay?
Just hold it right there. We'll be back. This is Still Business Half Hour, powered by Narrometrics. We'll be back after right after this break.
Okay. All right. It's always good to have the benefit of the hindsight there. Judge Benson doing that 120/20 vision. Still Business Half Hour here on Classic FM 97.3. And hope you have been writing down the nuggets here that have been dishing out on the show this morning. All right. It's back to you, Taiwo.
My name is Till Taiwo, and I'm still here with Jeffrey on Business Half Hour in partnership with Narrometrics. So, Jeffrey, before we went on the break, you had shared a few nuggets with us about what ensuring that your contracts have a long-term value.
That's true.
You know,
redefine your marketplace so that you can be first-place leader.
Yeah.
Very important. Cultivate your point of differentiation, right? Don't make price the only thing that makes you different. There should be more stronger, valuable things you can differentiate yourself with. Apart from the contract part, diversify your customer portfolio into more markets and more bigger or smaller customers so you don't lose the top three, top one, and your business is crumbling. The fifth point I wanted to raise before the break was profit and margin growth is something you need to look at. You need to continually see yourself growing either your profit or your business. You cannot be in business and then you feel that you cannot increase price or you cannot reduce costs. That would be a problem. You see, investors or people who would like to invest in your business want to see that you are doing something unique in the market that you're playing in. And that unique thing you're doing is making your business more valuable so that people can pay more for the services that you're rendering, or that you're looking for intelligent ways to reduce costs if you are in a regulated market. So you need to be able to show something that does that.
So reduce your costs or increase your profitability.
Yes.
Or do both if you can.
If you can.
Do both. It's usually, sometimes it's difficult to be able to achieve both because reducing your costs means blocking wastages, areas where there's wastages in there. Sometimes it means letting reducing your staff strength, combining job
or introducing technology.
Yeah, as well into it to make the processes and all of that run smoother.
So some businesses are very good with cash flows. You see that they're doing very well. Money's coming in, but again, the money that we share exactly margins
are very small. And there's some industries notorious for that. You know that people mm-hmm. think that, but the turnover is also good because it gives them access to a lot of to credit. It gives them.
There's money to grow.
There's money to grow
and
do things in that sense, ultimately in that sense, and they can plan long term.
Yeah, I'm investing in your business so that I can get some returns.
Yeah.
So if your net profit is always minus or on the negative, after a couple of years, I'll start to complain that we need to do something.
No doubt. You know, it's just some businesses are that way. They're high volume, but the profitability is very low. For some of them at the end of the day. What's the next one, Jeffrey?
All right, so you've got try to put the right team in place, right managers in place. And I find people who are struggling to trust the people that they've employed. So I bring into my business, I'm paying you salary, but I don't trust that you do the job very well. And so years go by, I'm like, dude, what's the point?
Well, you should be asking yourself that
what's
question.
The point? And then you're afraid to go on vacation. You're afraid to fall sick because you feel that people will not be able to do the work that you've employed them to do. And you transfer that same fear to the investors as well. And the guys is saying, I'm giving you millions of naira.
Go and get the right people. If you don't
trust- have the right people, you're not sure of the right people. So why are these people still on your payroll?
Yeah.
So try to get the right people so that you can transfer the same kind of trust to the investors as well. Because they need to feel that this CEO is a leader who understands how to put the right people in the right place. And even if he's not around or he decides to leave, the business will continue to run.
Even if you, so I hear people sometimes they say, you know, they just don't want to fire people or just let people go like that. Well, the question I ask myself is this: the business won't survive, and if it doesn't survive, you yourself will be fired. I mean, there's nothing left for anybody at the end of the day. So it's about taking the hard decisions, and I think it starts from that place as well. Because if you don't have the right team, honestly, I mean, like somebody says or people say, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with people.
Nice one. I probably put that as status update.
You know, so that's the truth. You can't do everything by yourself, you know, so I need to find the right people.
You know, the fear of letting people go, it's not right. I mean, if you look at all the great relationships that we've had, it's not because we were with the first person we met. Well, some were fortunate enough to find those. Others would have to try and try and try and then find the right person. Same with getting people to work with you. You need to allow people that do not fit and support your vision to go. So that the opportunity to find the right people would come your way.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe we'll talk about that someday on the show. How to find the right talent, how to spot the right talent. What's more important? Talent, attitude, you know, all of those things in that sense, and how to fund it as well. Maybe we need to look into that.
It's an interesting topic to look at because a lot of people suffer based on that, just as you said.
The requests are they're unending. Every day people are always complaining about.
And you just drop if you think you can handle everything yourself.
I know. So maybe my partner, she handles the HR part. Maybe I'll talk to her and she'll come in and have that.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right. Another thing is, if you had to invest in a business that I've introduced to you, Taiwo, what would be the first thing you would do? You've not seen the script, so there's freestyle now. What would be the first thing you would do if I told you, oh, there's this company out there I want you to invest in, what would be the first thing you do?
I need to see what they do.
Are
they
making?
Well, before you even get to the profitability part, profit can be different stages. But I need to know what they do first and foremost. What industry they play in? How long they've been involved? Who are the people running?
So you would research about.
Yeah, I need to do due diligence.
And usually, to do the research, the first place you'll go to is the internet.
Yeah, you go on their website.
You probably go to Google and type the name. Maybe it is Jeffrey and Sons.
I know where he's going. I mean, Bukola Akinbede from Nucleus actually said this one, you know, at one of the sessions we were talking about having a website.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so this huge dependence on Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. It's completely wrong. And I said it, you know, so.
You know, so you find, because the website is your domain. It's where you control things. It's where you put more substance to the...
Please help me tell. Let me say it properly, Jeffrey.
So, you know, when you post a 160 character on social media, it does not encompass everything about you. It's just a message, like saying hello to you. But the more time we spend together, you understand Jeffrey more. So your website is that holistic view about who you are as a business and where you sit as a business. You know, the content, the structure, the contact me, the feedback, all these things are all there, which you could attach to your social media or connect to it.
Yeah,
but it's not, you cannot take all your business and put it on a platform that tomorrow may not exist.
Precise, exactly what I say. And honestly,
you know, and I know a couple of, many years ago, the ones we leaned on, and today they do not exist.
Oh yes, MySpace deleted a lot of the music that they have. That's gone. All that intellectual property is gone somewhere. Some people, somebody hardware somewhere.
There you go.
You know, so I honestly, this is what I preach all the time, and I get this feedback. Oh, Instagram, they're working on the checkout page. They're working on this. And I'm like, it will never be the same. That's the truth.
It will not.
Number one, the website affords you more flexibility, gives you a lot of leeway.
Company.
Yes.
And they've given time to put in things.
And that's your universal address, because anywhere anybody is in the world, they can type it up. They can't always, everybody can't visit your office, but everybody can visit your website. And you know, that's the way it is in that sense. That so people need to take it a bit more seriously. About doing having their website so that they have the kind of visibility that they require.
Why not discrediting social media?
No.
That should be some sort of complimenting what your website.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be an intro, but unfortunately, we're fast growing. I say that we're fast growing to become a 60-second generation. You know, where everything is a 60-second video, and anything longer than that, nobody's interested in listening to or watching.
Attention span is diminishing
by the day, and it's a terrible thing.
Absolutely. So I say people that content, we used to pay for a lot of content before. Now we pay for attention. Everybody can post content, but not everybody has the attention to read all the content out there. So imagine before, there was a lot of focus on let's build the right content so that we attract
the right
attention.
People.
Now, what is now valuable is more than content is now attention.
As you said, hello, maybe Twitter is just like saying hello. And I'm like, okay, these guys do this. So what more do they do? I need to know. That is when I will now start looking for the website to have that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. True. And another thing here as well is to try as much as possible to have recurring revenue stream, predictable recurring revenue stream. You know, buyers today wants to know how your business will continue to make them money. Very important. And you mentioned one of the things, which was subscription. Another would be to have membership. You have service contracts. You have licensing. You know, you could have annual maintenance, you know, the SLA contracts. Anything that can help you to have recurring. You know, one of the lawyers that was on that our event yesterday, you know what she said to me? She says, a lot of people do not understand that being a lawyer is more than just putting together a contract. There's a lot of research advisory that comes with it. And she was saying to me, Jeffrey, I would like not to have a bulk value to a client. What I would like is to have somebody pay me gradually on a monthly basis, like a retainership, which is another way to make recurring revenue for 5 years, 6 years. So this is a way that you can restructure your business to make money continually.
Always a pleasure. I love listening to Jeffrey all the time, but we have to go. What's your Twitter handle? Or, you know, Jeffrey's on LinkedIn as well. He writes on LinkedIn.
So, so LinkedIn would be Jeffrey Williams Edem.
Okay.
Twitter would be at HeroXJ5. So Hero is HeroXJ5.
Okay, we'll find out the meaning of that someday. But you can hit Jeffrey up and he'll be glad to give you more nuggets. This has been the show for today, Bukola.
Thank you,
and
guys.
Lagos.
It was nice having you.